going on. Is the sound okay? Please shout if you're good. Okay, maybe I'll try it, but let me know if the mic drops. So I've been sniffing around Al-Anon for a very long time, and my first exposure to Al-Anon was in my early 20s. And then there was a long break, and then for years I was dipping in and I was listening to speaker tapes from Al-Anons, but not actually going to Al-Anon, and I was reading online stuff about Al-Anon, again, not coming to Al-Anon or speaking to other Al-Anons, until I got desperate. And there's a great speaker called Tom W, and he says, don't come to Al-Anon until you're really desperate, because it'll only annoy you. And that was my experience. It is very frustrating to sort of not feel like you need Al-Anon, but be listening to Al-Anon. It will get irritating. That was my experience. So I've been sniffing around for a few years. I think I'd say I've been a solid Al-Anon member for a couple of years, as in having regular groups and regular step work and inventory and so on with Al-Anons, and it's been fundamentally transformative in my life. Just today, just monitoring my body, something I wouldn't have ever done before, I'm way more relaxed than I was 2 years ago. I mean, I'm quite highly strung still, but if you would have seen me 2 years ago, I was even more highly strung. So what I do these days is I when I'm faced with something like this, I hand it up to God. So when I was asked to do this, I said, God, could you let me know what I need to say on that day? And then I don't have any clear signals, I'll check in. I'm like, do you remember I've still got to do that thing in 3 days' time? Could you let me know? Anyway, this is what came back. This past year, for some reason, I keep thinking about when I was young, I disproportionately remember, maybe there was a lot more of it, firework safety stuff. Like in the 80s and 90s, there were lots of adverts about firework safety and posters, and the firemen would come to school and so on, right? And maybe there is that now, I'm just not the demographic, but I think there's less of it because there are fewer dodgy fireworks around. And so this is the thing with fireworks, dodgy fireworks, right? They are fantastic, spectacular. Everyone loves a firework display, right? Special. My husband doesn't like them. He looks away, he finds them boring, but he's the only person I've ever encountered that finds fireworks boring. Everyone loves fireworks. The thing with dodgy fireworks is occasionally, 1 in 10, 1 in 5, something, it'll behave as it's not supposed to. It will fire off in the wrong direction and it'll end up in the shed or something. Or you'll light it and it'll explode immediately. Or the most unsettling of all, you'll light it and it won't do anything at all. The anxiety from a lit firework that's not gonna go off, right? And there's that thing of like, number one tip, if you've lit a firework, don't return to it. And even as a kid, I thought, what, you just never go to that part of the garden ever again? Like, you've lit it, you're gonna have to go back to it at some point, right? So this has been on my mind a lot. I think, what would it be like to be someone who'd been around these firework displays for their entire life with dodgy fireworks? They would become very vigilant, they would become untrusting, fearful. They'd end up disproportionately having health and safety qualifications, right? What if you were around people who also had been around firework displays for the rest of your life? Even if you weren't picking up on these behavior, these habits, you'd start to inherit it from them, right? I think in a general thing, you'd start to think the world wasn't a great place. The backdrop to life would become very negative. And I think the pattern would start to become a lot of excessive interest in the outside world. What's going on with the fireworks? What's the next thing that's coming? Is everyone okay? And there'd be a reduction in the amount of attention I'm paying on myself. What do I want? What do I need? What am I doing? Okay, so I've said all that, and let's read something completely different about Al-Anon. So it says here, and this is from How Al-Anon Works, Serenity. This is what some of us mean when we speak of serenity. With serenity, we are no longer limited by fears or illusions. We can be fully ourselves and trust that with the help of a higher power, we will be able to handle anything that happens. We replace the daily dread and insecurity that have dominated us in the past with a newfound confidence and a profound sense of well-being. This is one of the goals we seek for ourselves in Al-Anon. Although we may have come to Al-Anon with very different intentions in mind, by practicing the principles of our program, we can achieve inner peace and become capable of realizing far more than we ever imagined. many of our hopes and dreams become attainable. Others cease to matter so much. Serenity may be the most precious gift we receive because it allows us to know that our lives are in the care of a power greater than ourselves. And therefore, even in the midst of chaos, there is hope. So the way it works for me today is, and it's the only way it can work for me where I'm at right now, is I wake up. I've woken up every day so far, and I've got a life situation, right? I've got a family, I've got a history, I've got a personality, my thinking, I've got habits. And I just wake up and I've inherited that from that guy yesterday, that bozo, and the guy from 10 years ago who made that decision. And, right, I've got no other choice but to wake up in my life situation. And my choice today is how I spend it. Am I going to spend it in a kind of reptile monkey brain, repeat the patterns, don't examine everything, don't consider my worth in the world, don't consider what's right, don't consider what's better than what I've known? I think what it means to have a kind of rock bottom in Al-Anon is to say, nah, I'm not doing that anymore, thank you very much. And I'm willing to be very, very uncomfortable in changing my habits and essentially changing my life and changing my actions to bring about something different. So the fundamental thing here is, I have a little, I don't know where I got this from, this is cobbled together from lots of different things, Al-Anon literature and other things, is it goes like this for me. I have to take things back to zero all of the time. Zero is, firstly, one, I don't have to do anything. Like, I feel such a sense of obligation all of the time, I must show up, I must do that, I mustn't let them down. One of the characters I can play, like my defect, there's an AA speaker who gives his character defects names, and one of the ones I do is Little Lord Muggins, right? I'm a very sickly sort of aristocratic teenager, and everyone's asking me to do things. I've got to run the world, but I'm very ill, right? And I'm just, moping around because I've got sort of, no. I don't have to do anything. It's my zero, that's my starting point. Point two, so I get to choose what to do. In fact, I have to choose what to do. I can't just lie around doing nothing. I've got to choose what to do. And then point three, the killer one, is, and the consequences will be mine. So I can, of course, lean into fear. I can, of course, never contact them again. I can, of course, not show up for work. I can choose not to forgive. So much of my life now is simply about what choices am I making today. And I've been Al-Anoning today. We've had mentioned the three C's, the three A's, the four M's. I'm going to bring the four P's, the four P's. This is basically taking it down to zero, what I have to think about. First P is the program. I'm actually doing the program. Have I ever done the steps? Have I ever looked at the traditions and the concepts? Is my day structured around steps 10, 11, and 12? Second P is principles. What are some of the principles? And I think that also includes like the slogans. Let it begin with me. Like fundamentally shifting the kind of operating principles I'm operating by. Then I've got people. I cannot do this alone. Like the Al-Anon literature, the tables are groaning with Al-Anon literature. And I've tried just reading the literatures and listening to the tapes. I needed to actually speak to other Al-Anons and be in a room with Al-Anons. That bit at the beginning of the Al-Anon meeting where we'll go around saying how we feel today, like having my skin ripped off. And I thought, that's a sign I shouldn't go to Al-Anon. That's exactly the reason I need to go to Al-Anon. How are you feeling today, Harry? Not a clue. Never thought about it. Okay, learning to just simply say how I feel is about other people and hearing how other people feel and what's actually gone for them, identification on sorts of things. And then the fourth P was prayer. So I sometimes wake up in the middle of the night still, and really all I've got is some sort of conversation with God. I don't really know what else to do, other than get up and do housework or something. So those are my four P's, and that's kind of the structuring of my life now. I wanted to talk about a couple of results I've had. Talking about waking up in the middle of the night, it happens a lot less. Waking up in the middle of the night happens rarely. Into my 30s, I was waking up in the middle of the night thinking my dad had broken into the house. So I hadn't seen my dad for 20 years. I would wake up absolutely terrified that he was coming to get me. And I don't know, when I thought my, you know, my plan was going to kick in, it was not getting better. And I think, and for all those years, I thought, firstly, it was him. It was something he had done and was doing. And I also thought that it was something he needed to do to stop this from happening. I thought once he started giving back pay to my mum for child support, when he came and said sorry, when he came and made everything right and turned up sober or something, that was the thing that needed to happen. What needed to happen was I needed to practice forgiveness, genuine forgiveness. It means withdrawing the judgment, accepting that it happened, withdrawing the judgment, and then for me, starting to get into the place of actual empathy for another human being. And it wasn't until I got to a forgiveness exercise someone gave me, and it said, could you sit down every morning, and just for a minute, firstly, you say some prayers, but then try and put yourself in his shoes. What fears did he have? What might have been motivating him? What was his life like? And kind of reluctantly or suspiciously, I did that exercise, and it wasn't actually very long. After a few days, I had a thought that I'd literally never had a thought in my life. I connected two facts, the way he'd behaved, and then I remembered I'd been told that he'd had five dads, five fathers, and they'd all died, right? His childhood was an absolute mess. He had no tools whatsoever to help me. He was a very, very sick man. And with that, like my entire life changed. I haven't woken up thinking of my dad for years. And in fact, he died a couple of years ago of alcoholic brain damage alone. And I was able to make a small amends to him. And I am absolutely perfect at peace. He had to do nothing for that to happen for me. It was all about my actions in the program. I'll also say, with another parent who is still drinking, I used to call her at night, and after quite a lot of Al-Anon, I'd start feeling quite sad because she was slurring her words. And it's funny how the Al-Anon program works. You like have to reach like a critical mass. You have to be it for a long time, and then rather than just like mechanically going through the program or looking through the slogans, an inspirational thought will come. And after years of calling my mum in the evening, the inspirational thought came, why don't you start calling her in the morning, right? And I no longer feel sad, and I no longer hear her slurring her words. That was letting it begin with me, and it just happened. So I'll say where I'm at right now. I recently changed sponsor, and she's Texan and slightly nutty, and she's like, do you like ribeye? And then she's sending me a picture of the steak she's cooking, and like the most Texas thing you can imagine. But anyway, she was talking to me about, Harry, are you savoring life? And I have to say, I'm doing a lot of stuff and going through the motions. I'm not sure I really savor what I'm in. And so what I'm practicing at the moment is trying to savor every single interaction with anyone, everything I'm doing. And also, she said, and melting. And I can feel myself like manually multiple times a day saying, Harry, melt just a little bit. And I think what Al-Anon is offering is healing. An awful lot of healing is happening very slowly for me. I think that's what it means by gentle in the preamble. It's gentle not because I don't do it, but because it happens very slowly. And that's where I'm at. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Harry.